For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in 30 minutes, we're going to be joined by the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo. We check in every couple weeks with him. We'll get his thoughts, obviously, on the disappointing 2-8 road trip. And now a big homestand begins this evening against the Colorado Rockies. We'll discuss that. We'll talk about some of the starting pitching. And obviously, what does MJ Melendez need to do to one day get back to the big leagues? What would that look like? So a lot to get into with the general manager and the executive vice president of the Royals. That's coming up in 30 minutes. Hope you guys are having a good start to your Tuesday. We are just a couple days away from the NFL draft. Hope to see a lot of you at the Landing in Liberty on Thursday night.
Should be an awesome time. Obviously, draft rumors are starting to catch some new buzz.
Yeah.
New buzz at 2 and 3, and who's going to go where, and ooh, maybe Sanders back in the Giants or the Browns, and yet Pete Schrager is saying they're fielding calls for both of those picks. So are they trying to say, no, wait, I'll take Sanders. Mm-hmm. Don't tempt me. I'll do it. So just a lot of, you know how this is, smoke this time of year in the draft. Then we got to all decide whether or not any of it's true or not, Gold, which is a whole nother
challenge.
So makes
it fun, though.
We'll look forward to seeing you guys. Yeah, the Landing at Liberty, where you can win $965 if you are better at this than just the people in the bar, you know? Not asking much. Not asking to be better than every mock draft expert across the board. Just better than the people at the Landing in Liberty.
And I believe our guys, Chris Unocero, Jay Binkley last night and this morning unveiling a new mock draft. So maybe we'll get into that for our mock draft later on in the show. Would not surprise me if we do that. Maybe you just want a copy right off of Bink's mock draft and just say, you know what? I'm just going to roll up Binks for the contest, and you can blame him or celebrate with him if your mock draft gets you some money or not. I don't know. Maybe just copy right off of his 3.0. I don't know if they'll have one more before Thursday or not, but we'll get to that. But let's start a little bit with the Royals, who do begin a homestand this evening. Going to be gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous today out at Kauffman Stadium.
You going to go?
Thought about it. It's less than 50% chance, but I've thought about it. Yeah, Tuesday night's sometimes a little tricky. It's definitely not zero because it's going to be awesome weather this evening as they begin a series against the Colorado Rockies. And I wanted to talk about, yes, this week, the 6-game homestand, but the next stretch of games. We know that the road trip was abysmal, but the Royals play another 25 stretch here. And of those 25, 21, 22, depending on how standings can change, of them are against teams that are in fourth or worse in their own division. 25 games of that, only one series against a team that is over 500. I guess what I'm getting at is, if you're trying to figure out, can they get right? Can they figure things out? This next 25 is kind of make or break. You know, it's if they once again have another 25 game stretch, like the one they just wrapped up with, including a long losing streak
instead. Yeah.
Then the conversation is going to be way more about already at that point. Like, okay, well then who could they eventually be moving? Like, that'll be a thing a month from now. On the flip side, the schedule eases up. This would be a time to get the offense and get the bats going. Can you do that over the next 25 starting this week? And if you do, then we're having a conversation around Memorial Day about them being right in this thing. And that, one way or the other, it's going to happen.
It is going to be incredibly telling. We can ask JJ Piccolo about it at 10:30 because they look at the schedule. They know the teams that they were facing. And we didn't even hide behind it. I'd like to point out that we didn't, like, we were talking about this upcoming stretch for the Royals. We knew, Gold, we knew. We all announced on the show, like, hey, this is going to be kind of a tough stretch, and it's going to put you to an absolute test. They didn't pass the test grade, okay? Facing the Yankees and the Tigers, they lost all but one game. They lost six in a row against those opponents. Against the Guardians, another good baseball team, they lost 2-3. They did not hold up their own. The last few teams they beat are the teams who were below 500. So look, maybe this is just, they are exactly who they were last year, because this is who they were last year. Mediocre to below average against the teams that you would expect to be in the playoffs, and beat the hell out of any team named the Chicago White Sox or around that ilk. Well, congratulations. Tonight, Tuesday night, against the Colorado Rockies, not only can you get a trapper hat, you get a bad baseball team. You get a team
really
that
want
can't,
that trapper hat. Well, you've mentioned it a few times. I think you want the trapper hat. I think you want the, does it, do we know if it has
never
like
owned a trapper
the KC
hat
on the side? Know. Is it blue? Have you
honest
seen a photo of this trapper hat?
I haven't seen it.
First 10,000 or what?
I got invited to go out to the K tonight to be a part of a commercial for UMKC. I don't think I can make the timing work, you know? I'm dead serious. They're like working on a commercial with their partnership with UMKC. And I don't think there's a lot of sports fans currently in the film and communications department. So they're looking for bodies. And I think I might be that body.
You're supposed to pretend to be a student or pretend to be a...
No, they already have somebody pretending to be the professor. So in this scenario,
why wouldn't they have an actual
professor
be the professor?
Well, that guy's also a professor.
Oh, you said pretend.
Well, I mean, pretending for like the, you know...
Gotcha.
For the commercial sake.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
He is an actual professor and a much more established one than me. So,
Once again, just not willing to do what it takes to support the alma mater.
Oh, hold on. I did not tell them no. It depended on the timing. I'm supposed to hear something this morning about whether if the timing works, I will go support the alma mater. Plus, teaching there has to be supportive in some way, I would think. But it's just like, it's a telling stretch. It's a telling stretch for the Royals because any of the leeway you can have in the early part of the season, the times in which you can struggle, you ate it up. Like you used up some of that. There's some time in the middle of the year. There's some time later in the year where you can like mess around and have a losing streak again. But the earlier losing streak, that's done now. Mm-hmm. You got to put that to bed and start winning games tonight against the Rockies. And honestly, the pitching lines up pretty decent in your favor, considering who the Rockies are turning out there. So you should have a decided advantage against a team who also can't score. Like, I mean, that's what matters. They also can't score. So like you can win every game 2-1. I don't care. You don't have to fix the offense in the next three games. Just win.
Yeah, or this will end up being a series where both teams suddenly break out offensively and we kind of just wipe away everything else that happened before. But I'll be curious today. Normally, the lineups, like, I, you know, don't really care typically, but when you're in the stretch that they are offensively, I am curious, does Vinny still bat further down the order? Where's Mark Hanna at in the order? That's probably the only real change that you would see. I assume Drew Waters will be starting in left field tonight. Like that's something later on this afternoon. I'll be interested to see if Vinny immediately goes right back up. Was it just because of the pitching matchup, or are they trying to ease some pressure off of Vinny until he gets the bat going? So those will be things later on in the afternoon that we can figure out when they come out ahead of tonight's game out of Kauffman Stadium. Of course, you can hear the game right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan.
Reminder for those who want to head down to, we'll be heading down to Springfield on May 3rd. Just want to clear up any of the questions you guys might have about going to watch Cags for the Cody and Gold road trip Saturday, May 3rd. First, if you want your tickets, you go to 96.5 The Fan. There's a customized ticket link available there where you can go buy your tickets. $10 a pop. Select your section. We'll all be kind of in the same area of the stadium. And all the ticket stuff will be coming through on their end. You buy them directly through the team site for the Springfield Cardinals. That way we can all sit together and do that. If optional, if you want the CAG shirt, that'll be done through a separate link. So if you don't have that link yet, just text us 913-586-7965 or hit us up on socials at Cody B. Tapp, at Alex Gold. Those are four pickup day of game at Harbell's from 3:30 to 5. We'll meet you ahead of time there, hand out all the shirts there, make sure you're set going into the stadium. Obviously, we can't just bring boxes of shirts inside the stadium.
I have to pick them up at Harbell's.
So we'll be giving them to you there. All the instructions, if we send you the order form for payment and all that stuff, are available on that form. So if you need that, 913-586-7965.
Looking forward to it. It's still a little ways out. Look at the weather as of right now, like 73 degrees for our trip to Springfield for the game. That would be awesome if that holds to watch Cags, who... you look at his numbers starting to look even more impressive at the plate in terms of plate discipline. Walks are up given the plate appearances that he has compared to even when he was playing high A ball or whatever a year ago in his limited minor league time. So just hang on till May 4th, buddy. Just hang on till May 4th, you know?
I think we're okay. I mean, we don't need him to go 4-for-4 with 4 home runs today or anything.
Call him up the day after the road trip, you know? Call him up to the AAA.
Honestly, that would be kind of perfect timing. Go to the road trip. We all get to have fun, hang out with Cags, because I don't think we can call an audible. I don't think we can just be like, let's go to Omaha.
The trip is happening May 3rd in Springfield, no matter what.
I'm going to Springfield no matter what. Even if it's to watch Carter Jensen or Ben Kuderna or some of the other, those are local kids. That's why I mentioned them.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we'll have a much better feel after this week, too. They're back in action tonight as well. The Naturals, that is. He tags 15 games, 4 homers, 20 RBI, 17 strikeouts. 17 strikeouts? I think that's right. 258 average, 329 on base. I think that's right.
Yeah. It's a great, I mean, look, pretty good. The 20 RBI in 15 games is easily the most impressive part of that entire stat, I think. So, you know, we'll figure it out. I'm going to send over some of the link for those of you who are asking. So you think I should go be a part of this UMKC video?
You should. Why not? It's going to be a nice night for you, too. It's not going to be like Cole is going to be perfect this evening.
No, it's not that. It was just, you know, it's just kid stuff. You know, this works. It's just always like, there's always just some activity. Like, they always have something going on. That's all I have. I'm thinking about, is it okay to like, do we still like have our kids skip school to just go do things they want to do? He said, he's like, hey, I really want to go on another field trip. I said, it doesn't work that way. He's like, but I want to go to the zoo. Zoo this time of year closes at 4, so they don't get off at school fast.
You tell them a month from now you can go to the zoo.
Can we just skip school?
Out in a month.
What's the difference? He's doing fine. He got his math test back yesterday, got 100%. He got his reading test back early in the week, he got 100%.
Yep.
So does it really matter?
Yep. Go to the zoo.
Is he so far? Is it going to like throw off his entire? Can I just like, you know, like next Thursday we got a day game. Can I just take him out of school and go to the zoo?
Yes.
Does it matter?
I mean, you can do whatever you want. Yes.
You're rewarding him for good performance in school. Take it as that.
Drew saying, did your parents, like you said, you would skip for opening day.
Mm-hmm.
I could argue the zoo's more educational. Not really.
Well, it definitely is.
I was very much not a skip school individual.
I guess my thing is, you said the zoo as if like it closes at 4 right now. And I would just, well, you got 3 months during the summertime to go to the zoo.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying
there's nothing like opening day is opening day. It only happens once a year. The zoo is not going to be any different in a month than it is today.
Does the zoo always close at 4?
No.
Weekdays? Before like summer hits, they have a slightly earlier.
Then they expand it once the summer hits.
Okay. Yeah. Because they don't. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a safety thing. They don't want you walking around in the dark, you know, with lions around.
Sure.
They do some evening activity stuff, you know.
That makes some.
They
sense.
Do some like event stuff, like brew at the zoo. They do more like adult stuff. Evening events.
I'm gonna have to go back to the zoo. I've been once. I love the zoo. I love the zoo.
You said you have been to the KC Zoo.
I've been one time, and I need to go again. I love the zoo.
I went to like you said, Cody, in the evening they have like the Boo at the Zoo or whatever it was called. Brew at the Zoo, sorry.
Somebody's been texting in ever since I arrived that you guys need to do a show at the zoo.
Text line's giving you a hard time based on the convo yesterday.
Which part?
Someone said,
to the zoo.
Role model, Cody. No Easter basket for the kids, but skipping school is cool.
consider this makeup for the Easter basket as well. He wants to go.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got 200%. I think you should take him.
He's fine. Honestly, he doesn't need to learn. Like, if we're just saying.
He doesn't need to learn.
if we're just saying what the goal is, like what the educational goals they had set for him to learn in kindergarten, it's a wrap. He's learned them. So, like, you know.
So you're saying he might as well just not go back again this year. He might as well just go on to the next step up.
I'm not. Well, he can't. He can't. Okay. Yesterday, he goes to his program, his second program on Mondays. And I said, hey, how was school? He said, it was really good. He's like, it's a little more challenging. That's how he said it. Like, rude. So, like, what am I supposed to do? Skipping one day is not going to change his test. It'll be fine. Yeah. Plus, we all skip school. Come on, let's be honest. Gold, you skip some school in your day, right?
Sure.
There aren't any kids listening to this right now unless they're skipping school, and then they already know.
Yeah.
The only kid who's listening to this right now is skipping school for some reason. So in a lot of ways,
Kansas City is listening like, I know exactly what he's talking about.
Oh, man. Okay. Anyway, let's talk about a little bit what's going on with the Chiefs, because you and I have talked a lot about this. And I think this should change some of the national narrative for the people who are convinced the Chiefs were going to take a guard with the early picks in the draft. Because yesterday, Andy Reid spoke to the media and was talking a little bit about like what they're going to do at guard. I don't know if you have that clip or not. I don't think I do.
No, there's no audio of it. But Andy Reid said that Kingsley and Caliendo are going to compete for the starting job at left guard heading into the 2025 season. Once again, why I know there can be smokescreen stuff, but why I have no interest in drafting a guard before the back portion of the draft, as in basically the seventh round in particular.
Yeah.
Unless, once again, you are worried that you're not going to get Trey Smith's deal done long term. Otherwise, if you have Caliendo and Kingsley competing for the left guard spot, I think it'd be kind of silly to draft a guard in the first or second round then have a third name competing. Or it wouldn't be a competition at that point. I don't know.
Yeah, then it's a crowd.
I think you have your guard set up for the next year or two. Not saying Kingsley's going to win the job. Maybe it'll be Caliendo. Who knows, right? I think you want Kingsley to win it if you're the Chiefs organization, given where you drafted him and everything like that. But that to me should solidify the questions around the guard draft projections that some mocks had them take. Like somebody once still had them taking a guard in the first round. It makes zero sense to me.
After that comment?
No, not after the comment. A week ago.
I do not, honestly, it better be after the fifth round if they're taking a guard. Why? Like, otherwise, the Kingsley pick, like, if you take a, in my opinion, if you take a guard in the first three rounds of this draft, you have announced to the world, Kingsley is a bust. It's done. It's over. Guy can't play. Because if you don't even think he can compete for a spot at guard against a guy who started at guard for this team for five or six games last year, well, then you're announcing to the world he can't play. Because you're putting the other guy ahead of him, too. I think if you take a second-round guard, you take a third-round guard, well, then I'm favoring him above Kingsley to get the job. And you've already announced he can't play tackle. You said he'll be competing at guard. You've taken him out of the tackle mix. He's not a tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs anymore. That ship has sailed. So if you're down to just guard and then you draft another high one, you're saying he can't play. And I don't think that's the case. I'm not ready to call Kingsley a full-blown bust, as in a guy who can't work for the Chiefs. I have a million times watched failed tackles go to guard. I've seen guys who played tackle in college go to guard. He was a limited player. There's a reason why he was available in the 60s in the second round. The possibility of guard was always a thing. I think we might have mentioned it as a possibility the day he was drafted. We were hoping he would work out at left tackle, and he started the season as a left tackle, but this was always a possibility, so I don't see any reason to think differently. I don't see guard being anywhere near their early draft thought process.
I'd be pretty surprised, especially with those comments. This is where you can, yes, you have to be careful when you hear comments from GMs and coaches heading into the draft and what's real, what's not. This doesn't feel like there's any reason to be trying to mislead anybody with that. Kingsley and Caliendo competing for left guard makes all the sense in the world, given the personnel, given the resources you already put in, as you said, to Kingsley, even if now he's going to be a converted tackle to a guard, which, by the way, happens in the league all the time. It's disappointing that he's not going to be a left tackle in this league, but that's now in the past. You have to find a way. Can he become a starting guard for multiple years for you? Is he good enough to do that? And if he is, then as a second round pick, we'll look back years from now and say, all right, that worked out okay, especially if they eventually get a long-term left tackle. But
guard in the 60s is totally fine if you get a three-year starter out of him.
Right. So I think you know, going into camp, that should be a battle to keep an eye on, and that'll be a good one. Caliendo got plenty of experience last year when they moved Joe Tooney, of course, to left tackle. And at times, Caliendo looked good. Other times, it was a little bit of struggle. I think it was in run blocking in particular at times that wasn't as strong from what they had with, of course, Joe Tooney. No kidding. Sure. It's going to be a drop-off no matter who you have at left guard when Joe Tooney was your left guard the year before.
I guess when the way I look at this is that I'd be surprised, knowing the Chiefs' patience, that they were willing to just write a player off in year two. Let's go through the players who haven't even, like, fully performed to the level that the Chiefs would have expected. Sky Moore, Mecole Hardman, Felix Anudike-Uzomah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Have I mentioned a single player that they didn't go into the year two still thinking that person was a regular part of what they were going to do? No. Every single one of them they had a plan for. Like Sky Moore, they were still talking out of camp in year two like he was wide receiver one or two. It didn't work out, but I mean, they were still fully aboard the like Sky Moore train as an organization in year two. It'd just be the antithesis of what they've done as an organization. I also just think the talent plays there. I think his size plays there. I think some of the lack of mobility and getting beat off the edge and some of the stuff that happened with Kingsley at left tackle is not as big of a problem at guard. I think there's just more flexibility in his play style in thinking that should work. And so when I hear Andy Reid say that, I think he's not trying to signify it because he tries to play his cards close to the vest, But you should take that as a, they're not taking guard in the first round. They're not going to take Tyler Booker if he falls to 31. They're not taking a guard in those first few picks, I don't think, until they get later in the round. Look, if it's pick 90, what is it, 6 or whatever they have in the third round?
66 and 95.
95. If it's, that's why I was getting confused. If it's pick 95 in the third round, I'm not going to blow a gasket over it, but like, I would be looking after that pick if I'm still thinking guard and competition at that. Because worst case scenario, and like a Trey Smith guy emerges and he does beat out Kingsley, well then I'm glad you spent a fifth round pick on it, right? I'm glad you made the decision you did. But knowing that you can find starting guards at those positions, and it's not a good guard class according to most people. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I watched 400 hours of college football and know I'm trusting the draft experts. They tell us it's not a good guard class. Well, then even less sense to be picking a guy early.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll be joined by the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Pecola. We'll talk more about the road trip they just had, look ahead to this big week and upcoming really 25-game stretch, plus discuss what has been good, which is the bullpen on the back end and, of course, the starting pitching. That's coming up in a bit here on Cody and Gold. So college football, you referenced that just in relation to the draft and some of the talent and everything out there. We know that there still has to be plenty of tweaks with this college football playoff updated system we had. We saw how there was maybe some issues with who got bye weeks and the way everything was seeded, and we knew they were going to change some things up. Well, there's some speculation out there from Brett McMurphy that one possibility to determine seeding, and this is going on with the annual spring meetings right now in Dallas, who knows if it'll be impacted right away, but one possibility as a compromise for those that are trying to figure out how conferences earn automatic bids through their play each season, a model in which each Power Four league can earn guaranteed spots through a combination of its team's overall records and maybe even TV ratings, according to a source, could be presented.
Boo.
The highest ranked conferences would earn the most automatic bids. They're basically just saying the quiet part out loud. We always say, when we see these, they gave it to the bigger school, the school that's going to bring more eyeballs and it's going to be more entertaining and all that. And the reality is it's all about money and TV ratings are where the money is coming from. Spoiler. So I get it, but this sucks. If in fact that is something they would specifically put in writing as how they determine it. We all kind of figure that it might be happening anyway, but to potentially go down that path where they wouldn't even hide it anymore, that they would choose, let's just use, I'll just keep Ohio State. If it's a year in which they're a fringe team for an automatic bid, but they're going up against, I don't know, a team from the Big 12 where their TV ratings maybe aren't as good, and they're going to side with Ohio State because it's better TV ratings. Now, we would have joked in the past, we would have just said, well, they're choosing Ohio State because it's Ohio State. It's essentially the same thing. It's just they're going to actually put it maybe in writing, Cody?
I think everybody who ever claimed that college athletes are the one ruining college sports owe an apology. This will ruin college sports. Let's just pretend that competition and winning and games mean absolutely nothing. And instead, if you are the Buckeyes, congratulations and welcome to the college football playoff. If they do this, I might quit watching college football because then it's a joke. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The games don't matter. The players don't matter. If they're just saying it's going to be Notre Dame versus Alabama versus Ohio State, which it is, by the way, to be clear, 90% of the time. But in the rare occasion that a team pulls itself up by the bootstraps and actually finds their way deserving of a college football playoff spot, they're just going to stick in Georgia anyway because they get better TV ratings. Well, then it's a joke.
Yeah, I don't like it. Let me be clear, though. I don't like it. Let me be clear. This is for automatic bids only. This is not saying that that's how the everything else will get determined. This is for the auto bids. But yes, I'm with you.
You would take somebody who wins the SEC over the Big 12 team that wins just based off of ratings alone. I think it's interesting. Cody, you're right. Ohio State and Georgia are probably going to make it anyways, but it should be because of what they do on the field, not a handout. I think this all goes to show, similar to the leadership thing and all the stuff regarding Nico Iamaliava, it's the same thing here. When you have TV executives and athletic directors running the show, this is what we can expect. And it's another warning sign of, hey, the NCAA sat on their hands and didn't do anything, and college football needs leadership badly, where it's about the players and the coaches and the team and the people that play the game, as old as that sounds. It's about the people who play the game, not about the people who make the most money off of it. Because if the product is good, if it's the best possible product, the ratings are going to come anyways. It's not like they're trying to gain ratings or they're trying to make it a point to do that, because it makes no sense.
The part that really gets me is that this all feels like a repackaging by the SEC and the Big Ten for the same thing they were asking before, which is, hey, we want more spots. Like, cool it on the greed. You already got the biggest TV package. You already have the best schools. They want to do what ended up failing in European soccer. They're like, what we actually want is a super league where we're the only people who are invited to the party because we're the big dogs on the street. We don't care about equality. We just want everything. They want to consume it all like a langolier all of a sudden and just eat up every conceivable ounce of profit. It's ludicrous. Mm-hmm. They can just choose. They already have enough and they can't take that. That's enough. So they're like repackaging the original thing, which was, well, we get 6 automatic qualifiers and the other leagues get 2. And instead packaging is, okay, we each get 3, but if there's a 4th spot up for grabs, it goes to the team with the highest ratings, which will be us because we're the SEC or the Big Ten.
Well, and
like, that's just a terrible way to go about it.
And when you, Cody, when you have the representation, when you have Greg Sankey making key decisions on the sport, it's always going to go that way. When you have ESPN, I know ESPN gets thrown under the radar because I don't think they deserve as much blame, but when you have ESPN, who is partnered directly with the SEC, televising all these games, they're going to lean in a certain direction when it comes to their product. So I think that there's a lot of things that have come out over the last week and a half or so where it's just unveiling again, a reminder to everybody that it's a complete, like, Pandora's box has been opened in regards to how the sport is run, not even the ins and outs of the portal and name, image, and likeness, which, to your point, Cody, is not ruining college football. It's these sorts of things where the decisions that are being made are not for the sport's best interest. Therefore, money's best interest, which, if
that's not
the sport is not
in
best interest, then money's going to go away.
Not a new concept. I mean, conference realignment began because of money and TV revenue and TV ratings, and this is just adding on to that. Here we are,
you know,
15 plus years later since realignment really started happening around college football. And again, I think when we see rankings come out for college football, even this year or 2 years ago, 5 years ago, we all kind of assumed a team might be getting a leg up because of their brand, because of the conference they're in. They might just be saying what we've always known. So in a weird way, like, I don't like it, but also I actually don't know if it's really changing much from what's already been going on behind
the
closed doors anyway.
Like, it might have already been boards, even uglier.
For sure.
I mean, it's definitely been going on. This goes back to the Florida State thing. Yeah. That was all about TV nonsense.
So we'll see if this gets enacted for this upcoming year. They've got meetings going on in Dallas right now. There's a chance this is something that doesn't get put in writing anytime soon. But the fact that it's being discussed, obviously, should be a little concerning for some college sports fans. Up next, let's talk Royals baseball with the general manager and the executive vice president of the Royals, J.J. Piccolo. Let's ask him about the road trip. What is the concern level within the organization about the offense right now? That's coming up next. All right, just getting started here on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get back into some draft talk. The latest from Matt Miller, who joined Carrington yesterday afternoon, talking about what he's hearing the Chiefs could do at pick 31. Maybe it prompts them to trade up from 31. The draft just a couple days away. We hope to see all of you out at the Landing in Liberty for our draft party coming up on Thursday night. Your chance to win $965 plus an autographed Chiefs helmet if you can predict how the draft is going to go. Remember, you get points for the right player in the right slot, and even more points if you can match up the team with the player, which is obviously going to be very tricky to do after the first couple picks of the draft. Let's talk some Royals baseball, though. They begin a homestand this evening out at Kauffman Stadium as the Colorado Rockies come into town. You can hear the game right here on 96.5 The Fan. And every couple weeks, we check in with the general manager and executive vice president of the Royals, J.J. Piccolo, and he joins us right now here on 96.5 The Fan. Good morning, J.J. Look, you guys started homestand tonight. The road trip clearly didn't go the way anybody wanted it to go. Offense continues to be the conversation, I'm sure, internally as much as it is with fans. How concerned about the offense are you right now?
Well, I mean, obviously we're struggling, but, you know, this is part of the season where we just have to really go back and check our processes with each individual guy, because I think they all are doing something a little bit different right now. And it's a tough stretch, but, you know, we've been through this before, and you just got to know what it is that gets you out of it. And you just got to kind of wait out the process and hopefully guys get going. I'm glad we're back home, and I know our guys like playing at home, and today's the start of a new stretch.
Is this part of what the appeal was in a guy like Jonathan India? Like, I was wondering, like, just going back to, like, this stretch or even last year when you guys went through a couple of stretches offensively that were kind of tough, is when you've got a team that has guys who could work on the on-base percentage part of it, is it harder to avoid stretches like this if guys aren't regularly just getting on base, whether they're hitting or not?
Well, if I understand your question correctly, you know, Jonathan Andy is a very consistent player, and he's going through it right now as well. But, you know, his process is still good. He's swinging at good pitches. He's just not, you know, making consistent hard contact, which we know he will. His career path tells you, his history will tell you that that's something he does. And when you're veteran guys, more veteran guys are being a little bit more productive and more consistent, it takes pressure off the bottom of the lineup. You know, right now it's just kind of a trickle down effect. I mean, it's, you know, outside of Bobby and Michael, all guys have gone through their struggles, but these guys are pros. They know that this is part of the season. You know, one day can change the course of the next 2 weeks. You know, that's just the way the game goes. It's actually what I think everybody enjoys about the game. Nobody likes going through the struggles, but 162 games is hard to get through. And when you embrace the good with the bad, they're the guys that play a long time in the big leagues. And that's what our guys are going through right now.
You guys were in the middle of a 17 game stretch without a day off. You get the win on Sunday, at least from the outside. It felt like maybe everybody could just take a little bit of a deep breath, reset with the win on the flight home, and you're off yesterday. And then of course back at it tonight.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. That's what I was thinking, but it was great to get that win. I mean, Detroit's playing very well right now. It was a tight game. You know, Carlos Estevez did a wonderful job going two innings there. You get the win, you know, you get on that plane, you get an off day, you regroup. It's a beautiful day today. The weather's outstanding. So, you know, you just got to be optimistic that today's the day that, you know, gets us going in the right direction. But Sunday's win was a big win. You always, you know, you want to win every game, but when you're going through a stretch like that, you want to get that last win, so at least to end the tough road trip on a positive note.
I guess on the flip side, JJ, obviously the wins aren't coming with it yet, but like you've got to feel internally if the offense or when the offense finds some more rhythm, the starting pitching looks like it's going to give you a chance to win 162 times in a row based on the way this has started so far. Where are you guys at in that process, and how comfortable are you now that, because you had to give up a starter in the offseason in Brady Singer, how confident are you that this is what we're seeing in the starting pitching's here to stay?
Well, it's great. I mean, everything starts on the mound, and even though we've lost a handful of games, there were a lot of tight ones in there as well because the pitching is doing what it's supposed to do. And then when you think about, we've got four guys on the IL right now, pitchers, that more than likely would have been on this team, you know, opening day. So when you look at that, I think we're weathering that storm very well. You hold your breath, you know, when Lucas got hit with that batted ball, you hold your breath because it's, there's only so much depth you can really have. But luckily Lucas is fine. They're doing a great job. The starters are keeping us in the game. The bullpen's done a great job. So, you know, I think that's, without a doubt, the positive right now. And that's what we were built on last year. You know, our pitching was really good and our offense scored just enough runs and you end up having a good season. But that was last year, and now we got to move on and figure things out this year. But the pitching certainly has been a positive.
You mentioned Lucas Urseg. Is the expectation that he'd be available then tonight?
Yeah, he was actually available on Sunday. We didn't want to use him because of the off day. You get an extra day. But he would have pitched if that game went, you know, 12, 13 innings, more than likely he was going to come into the game. It worked out really well that we didn't have to use him and got the win. And then he gets the off day and he's certainly available tonight.
How are things progressing for Hunter Harvey? Since we're already in the bullpen and talking about guys, how's he looking?
He started his throwing program this week. So that's a positive. You know, the good thing about relievers is it doesn't take them much to get back into the flow of things. They're throwing one inning at a time for the most part. So I don't know what the timetable is. It'll all depend once he gets off the mound, how he's feeling. But everything so far has been exactly as we expected.
We're talking to the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo, here on 96.5 The Fan. On Saturday, you guys made the decision, of course, to option MJ Melendez to AAA. You spoke about that decision and the thought process with that. Now that he's going to be in AAA, what do you guys need to see from him for him to have an opportunity in the future, potentially to come back with the big league club?
Oh, we said several times that we liked the work that he did in the offseason and really what we were seeing through spring training and then even, you know, during the regular season is even though he was doing some good things and trying to quiet things down in his lower half, his timing was still off. They wasn't synced up, his lower body and his upper body. They made the coaches and MJ made a decision before the New York series that they were going to make a small tweak in his stance where his posture is a little bit more upright, trying to maintain what he's doing with the lower half and find that rhythm. And in a very short sample, you know, he hit the homer off of Freed. He hit another ball really good the next night and lines out to end the game. So we feel like he's on the right track, but it's a timing issue. And with timing issues, it takes repetition. And when you're doing it against the best in the world, it's hard to work on those things. So we were patient with it. We were hoping that he would find it. We believe that he will. So now he's back in AAA. He reported yesterday to play or Sunday to play, and they got rained out. So he's anxious to get to work and handling it very well. And he'll be in the lineup tonight against Toledo.
How's his, you know, I guess the handling it really well, it's got to be really tough for a guy who's been in the big leagues for 3 straight years and then make those adjustments and then end up in AAA. Like, how do you guys internally handle those conversations? And you don't have to tell me what you told him, but how do you handle those conversations where we do actually still believe in the changes you're making? I know it feels like it's coming with less production now, but we need you to stick to it.
Well, the communication is really key. And the night that we sent him down, we didn't even get into it that night. But Alex Zumwalt and the other hitting coaches had a discussion with him Friday night, they had a discussion with him. And then we had a conference call yesterday with all the coaches in AAA because I think the communication is very important and we're consistent in what he's hearing. But he's a major league player. He needs to participate in this as well. You know, if something's not feeling right, a certain drill is not, you know, getting the result or the feel that he's trying to accomplish, then, you know, we need to change the drill. But a lot of it is drill work to try to create that timing and then go into the game with a free mind that the work he just did will transfer into the game. And, you know, it's tough, you know, and he's been a big leaguer for 3 years. It's tough. You know, sometimes we've been through this before. Sometimes there's a little bit of a sigh of relief to catch my breath, start over, and kind of a new beginning, you know, and that was the sense I got from MJ. And then even with a follow-up discussion I had with him on Saturday night, you know, he's anxious to get to work. He was packing his place here and he was driving to Omaha the next morning, which is exactly how we want guys to react. And, you know, just to go back a little bit, it's very similar when Alex Gordon got sent down in 2010. He was in Omaha the next day and got to work and eventually came back and was a very productive major league player for many more years. So, you know, that's the approach we're taking. As long as the player understands it, it certainly feels like MJ does, and he'll go down to AAA, get this thing ironed out, and come back up and be productive for us.
Fans will remember and mention guys like Gordo or Moustakas who were sent down. As a general manager, like, do you use those even as examples to the player, or do you just say MJ's probably well aware of that already?
Yes, you do at times. It just you kind of got to read the room. You know, there's a time and place for that. You know, when you first give a player news like that, they certainly don't want to hear about anything else. I mean, they're human beings. You know, it's bad. Sure. It's bad news.
Sure.
But there's a time and place for it. And I know that MJ and Mike Moustakas are actually friendly. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if they're talking right now. And guys that went through things like that, you know, that player can identify with the players going through it now, and that can be very helpful. So we just got to, you know, keep, you know, referring back to history. You know, I said this the other day, there's very few players in the world that never got option. They get to the big leagues, they get option back to the minor leagues. I don't know what the percentage is, but it's a huge percentage of players get option back. I remember having a similar conversation with Brady Singer a couple years ago, and he came back and was outstanding. So, you know, we've been through this before, you know, and how the player handles it mentally and then the physical work he does will really dictate what the future is like for that player.
I wanted to ask you about another player in the lineup since you were talking about processes. Vinny was on MLB Network. He was talking a little bit about bat speed and maybe that was speeding him up. And for a guy who was a heavy producer for you guys last year, what are you guys seeing from like Vinny's at bats as far as getting him up to speed?
Well, the thing that Vinny's always done so well is his pitch selection is outstanding. And right now he's getting pounded inside pretty good. A lot of cutters in, balls off the plate in. that he's, you know, making a pass at and foul, pulling foul. We thought over the last 7 to 10 days, he started to make that adjustment. He actually had an opposite field hit the last day at Kauffman Stadium before he went on the road trip. When Vinny is using the left center field gap, that means his timing's right and his pitch selection is good. I did read a little bit about the bat speed thing, and it was a goal of his to increase bat speed, but that's not too uncommon. But if you look at, you know, the correlation between bat speed and who the most productive hitters in the game are, the best hitters in the game aren't at the top of the bat speed ranking. You know, I think last year when they came out with that, Luis Arraez was last in baseball and he's won 2 batting titles. So it's timing. You know, your swing, your bat speed, to sync it up with your lower half and how you deliver the bat is going to be more of the predictor of how well you square up a ball, which then usually leads to hard hit, and now you get your hit. So, you know, it's an interesting thing. I give players a lot of credit. They challenge themselves all the time. They want to get better. And, you know, you would think swinging the bat faster would be a better thing, but for some guys, it's just not, you know. And Vinny will figure it out. He's a really good hitter. He's going to figure it out. And when his pitch selection improves, like we've seen for many years with him, he'll hit. You know, he's a very good hitter. He's a very good major league hitter. And it's the quality of the at bat that I think will dictate the results more so than anything. And right now the quality of the at bat isn't what we're used to seeing from Vinny, but he'll get there. Who knows how long it'll take, but he will get there because he's too good of a hitter.
We mentioned the rotation, JJ. I did want to ask you before we let you get out of here, a couple of guys in the bullpen. Daniel Lynch, how much has he earned more high leverage opportunities, considering I know his scoreless inning streak ended, but he has been better than I was expecting in kind of those leverage moments as he got more of those. What do you guys view Daniel Lynch's future is in those big time innings?
I think exactly what's happening. You know, he really, last year when he got up, he was more towards the bottom of the bullpen. As we got into the playoffs, you know, or in that stretch run, he was being used in higher leverage situations, and the same thing's happening right now. Came into a close game the other day in Detroit. Even though he gave up a run, he did a good job. I mean, the base hit that they scored the run was just a well-placed ball. It wasn't hit hard. So he's done a great job. And like any other pitcher, the more success they have, the more the manager's going to want to use them in high-leverage situations. And that's what's happened with Daniel. So it's really an advantage for us, you know, being left-handed, because you can pick your spots when you want to use them. We saw Angel Zerpa do the same thing last year, and he may not be throwing the ball as well right now as he did last year, but Angel is very similar when you look at his career projection and how he's gotten to where he's gotten to. So it's great for Daniel Lynch. It's great for our team, because the more options you have in the bullpen, the better off you're going to be through a long season.
JJ Piccolo, Royals General Manager, Executive Vice President, kind enough to give us some time here. We'll check in a couple weeks. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There you go. JJ Piccolo with us on 96.5 The Fan.
I agree with him on Vinny, as we've talked about. I just think he's a good hitter. But, you know, like, the timing is still, like, not quite in sync, it seems like, for the rest of the season. The MJ stuff is – he's talking about MJ like that's a guy who's coming back and playing in the big leagues at some point once he works out his timing.
Yeah. Going back to real quick what you were saying about Vinny, though, I think the you know, Arraez mention that he had there about his bat speed and everything, it's a reminder, like, yeah, overall bat speed has become more and more of a discussion and everything, but just because you're swinging the bat faster doesn't always mean that ends up being better for you, the player. And to this point, maybe that's what we're seeing happen for a couple of guys too.
Yeah, I think that there's at least a portion of it. And look, he openly admitted that. Vinny's a very honest person about his game and life, whatever. He said, I'm trying to figure out if maybe that was not a good thing for me. Like, because your timing, and somebody told me, like, I was asking around a little, I was asking like a former hitting instructor about it. And his wasn't even like, it's necessarily a bad thing for you that the bat speeds up, versus it will take time to adjust your timing relative to that. As in, like, 30 games wouldn't be crazy to try to figure out your source on that, which, you know, like, that's, I think, why everyone's patient with Vinny.
Text line wanted me to put in JJ's ear. We didn't do it. I didn't see the text come in at the time. They said, just mention that, oh, by the way, we're going on a road trip, you know, anytime after May 3rd, and just leave it at that. Anytime after,
you know,
May 3rd.
Anytime after May 3rd would be fine for Jack Caglione. May 4th would be a great day. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's the 10th, the 27th. Just
not May 2nd.
Just not May 2nd. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Not the day before.
The minor league clubs don't often do midweek promotions. They love doing like a fresh week start. So maybe we make it to like next Tuesday, we'd be okay, you know?
Okay. Okay.
I'm not making any promises or anything. If you want to go on the Cody and Gold road trip to see Kags, 96.5thefan.com for the ticket information. You got to hit us up, 913-586-7965 for the t-shirt order form that says Kags. If you've already ordered your tickets, they will be for in Springfield pickup at Harbell's 3:30 to 5. We'll go down there, have a good time. Really looking forward to it. You got any questions, you just let us know. 913-586-7965.
So Matt Miller was on with CDOT yesterday. Matt Miller's been on this show, does a great job covering the draft, ESPN draft expert now. You'll see him plenty on Thursday, Friday, Saturday throughout their draft coverage. And Carrington was asking him a lot about what he thinks could happen for the Chiefs at 31. There was one surprising thing that he mentioned, and that was in particular what the Chiefs could do, you know, in the trenches is one thing, but also in a few other spots. Take a listen to this.
I would love for it to be Luther Burden. I'd be happy with a tight end, you know, like a Mason Taylor at that spot. I'd be happy with a speedy edge rusher. But when we get back to how this team normally drafts, I'm with you. It's probably going to be a defensive lineman, probably going to be a defensive tackle, unless one of those offensive tackles falls. But, you know, I don't know, man. Last time they lost the Super Bowl, they got aggressive and a lot changed in a hurry. And we didn't see that through free agency. So maybe we see it in the draft, you know, with four picks in the top 95. Maybe we see some aggressive movement. I had heard 2 weeks ago that they were at least interested in moving up. You know, the last time they were interested in moving up was the Rashee Rice drafts when no one would trade with them when they wanted to move up. So we will see what happens.
Acknowledging he thinks the Chiefs will go trenches, but said, hey, I'd take a tight end at 31.
Tight end at 31. I mean, Mason, if it was Loveland, I told you I'm in. But like Mason Taylor, is that a guy going to the first?
Interesting name.
Have you had a mock that had Mason Taylor to the Chiefs, Drew?
Have we had a mock that's had him in the first round?
To the Chiefs, I think we've had one. I don't know if it was, I don't think it was in the first round, but he seems to be, I think he's more of a player that's like a second round guy. I think that's more what people think, but look, I mean, if they like Mason Taylor, I think he's a guy that you know what you're getting more than like ceiling. Like Colston Loveland and Tyler Warren, clearly cream of the crop guys, but in regards to Mason Taylor, I think he's fine. He's like another Noah Gray.
Well, I don't want another Noah Gray if it's a first round. Like, that's not a knock on Noah Gray. Noah Gray's a really good player.
I think Mason Taylor could be a really solid tight end, but he's never going to be Tyler Warren. I would be stunned if that happened.
I guess the only argument for that is that Noah Gray, I'm still convinced, would start for 10 to 12 teams. Is that delusional? I think he'd be the starting tight end for like 10 to 12 NFL teams today.
Probably. Yeah.
I mean, look
at
the numbers. Look at the receiver numbers at tight ends. They're not as impressive as you think.
He would have been starting for the Broncos, the Chargers, in this own division.
The only teams you wouldn't start in this. Well, yeah.
The Panthers, the Saints. I mean, you can just rattle. I think you could rattle off at least eight teams. At least.
You'd have to beat out Taysom Hill.
And by the way, I said cop.
Did you?
Cream of the crop.
Cream of the crop.
Crop.
Cream of the cop.
We're going to have to go get that.
Just in case.
Go ahead and pull that.
I think he said cream of cop the cop on accident.
I think cream of the.
He was trying to say crop, but I believe he said the cop.
Cream of the crop.
I hope it was.
C-O-P. Some of them listen to the show.
I hope so. I hope we don't have another
cream of the what? I hope you guys got that on tape. Somebody said.
I'm going to find it.
I'm just going to give you a piece of advice right
now. If it is cream of the, then blurp. You know, beep that.
Don't keep trying to say it, because then what might happen in doing that is you say it bad again. Because I'm speaking from experience here. That's not a situation.
The text line is full of cream of the what? Cream of the cop?
Just careful. That's all I'm saying. Careful. I think if you look at it right now, don't we all just at this point? I'm with Matt Miller. I expect trenches.
Yeah.
I expect interior defensive line, edge defensive line, or tackle. Like, those are the only three positions I anticipate the Chiefs taking at 31. Outside of that, I'm not saying they'd all be stunners. But I'd be surprised at almost any pick outside of that. Maybe I'm off here, but I think it's in that range.
I'm there now. You know, I think defensive line or offensive line is where they're going. I know fans always would love the wide receiver pick, because come on now.
Oh, it's way, it's fun.
You know, that is. It's fun. Frankly, for us, the next day after the draft, it's way more exciting to talk about wide receiver.
Luther Burden, and then we start talking Hollywood Brown.
Way more exciting to talk about wide receiver than especially an offensive tackle that is going to sit on the bench for all of 2025. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it's a bad pick, by the way. Just from an excitement, it obviously a skill position player is going to be better. All right, we've got it. Is this clean? Have you listened? Are we good? All right, here we go. Mason Taylor, really want to find out who rises to the what?
Clearly, cream of the cop. Cream of the crop.
Cream of the cop. Okay. All right.
Clearly, cream of the cop.
Close. Very close.
Clearly, cream of the cop. Cream of the crop.
I hear the P sound. He's okay.
Yep. He said cop.
So now I can take it off of the... I can delete it now.
No, it needs to be in there because it's now a funny reference.
I am not like our good friend in the morning show. Fortunately.
Oh, didn't Dusty say something?
Yes, he did.
Dusty had a bad one that he said that on. I don't remember what it was, but he definitely
he was talking about time and clocks.
That's happened to Alex at a different radio station.
Back when I was an intern.
Oh, an intern here.
Or a part-timer at the station. I was at training camp. At Uncle D's. 2013, I was a part-time employee here at the time. I'm doing a show in person, which made it so much worse on remote. And I said, coming up at 3 o'clock. Forgot the L. Forgot the L.
Dang.
That's tough.
And then everybody just turned from eating their meals and just turned and looked at the stage. That was maybe the worst moment I've had in live radio. 2013, part-time employee at the time. Yeah.
It's a tough
one. Someone says the mumbles and hesitation from Drew after the cop is the best part of the entire
thing.
I wanted to make sure that I was clear in what I was trying to say, you know?
Because you knew what it sounded like.
Oh, for sure.
Uh-huh. All right, guys. Up next, let's talk more about the Chiefs' Achilles heel the last couple of times in the Super Bowl. And does that mean it's how they should be drafting, or is it actually a bit of a mirage? We'll explain that coming up next.